multiple locations. It might be practical for a lab that was purpose.
Or not to hold a hearing.
No, but Mr. Chairman, Senator Hill, when I beginning of my tenure, I had a very frank letter from the federal government, and I had to back off the health department and other divisions from utilization of our equipment, even our industrial hygiene equipment. That's not appropriate utilization of equipment. And I want to emphasize the point that we're in very fine straits with Department of Labor, federal government, and I don't want to get into a contest about fund discrepancies.
All right.
So, but we can visit that at a further.
Right. Well, we'll take a look at it and see what we can get. The chair is extremely depressed at the goose eggs, the string of goose eggs on the investigative section there. You know, I worked rather diligently and was particularly interested in the verbiage that did succeed in 1197 and others that directed us towards this area. Have any of those slots ever been filled, or those are virgin slots yet to be filled?
Mr. Chairman, you mean on the investigated criminal?
Criminal investigator and legal assistant.
Mr. Chairman, at the beginning of my statement, we're in the throes of interviewing approximately 15 lawyers, and I think my deputy and my business manager has it down to 5, which I will interview. We're in the conceptual stage of hiring these people within the next few weeks.
So those slots have never been filled?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
And of all the slots that you have and all of the categories that came out of the package for expansion in the last session, those are the last to be filled.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Have you seen Senate Bill 1037, which you might want to write that one down? We're going to be holding a hearing on that when?
April 5th, the week from.
A week from today, April 5. You might want to take a look at that. When is your what's the timeline for filling those?
Mr. Chairman, within the month.
Within the month. Excellent. Well, we may not fast track 1037 quite as fast as the bill we put out today, but we would hope that that those two things would come together. That's the one on criminal penalties for willful and deliberate violation leading to serious injury and death, which we talked about in this committee before. It's back, and we're going to be holding a hearing on that a week from today. You might, if you by chance hire somebody in these slots by then, they might want to, if not, then we'll make sure the staff gets the material developed out of that hearing and the background information that person, and I would appreciate it if when your investigator is identified and hired, if we could have them come to the committee for a brief interview to give an overview of what their philosophy will be and how they are going to approach their duties and what the committee can expect to find in coming years as a result of their activity. I assume we could do that before session.
Be glad to do that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Other questions?
Do you have, Mr. Pompey, sort of a plan of attack in terms of what these investigative teams will do and in terms of how they'll function, and will they interact with the local DAs or the AGs?
Mr. Chairman, Committee Counsel, you're talking about the criminal investigative section. I have the plan, as you so state, is that when our compliance people are involved in some sort of major investigation due to a serious injury and or fatality, and it is somewhat involved more than just a basic injury or fatality due to a violation of an OSHA code, our criminal investigators will be called in to work with the compliance staff then is the interagency involvement with the Attorney General and the respective DA in the area to look at the possible criminality if we feel that is indeed what is necessary. But this all borders on our compliance staff in their first involvement with the injury fatality or what have you.
Do you have the interagency agreements negotiated, or will that be the first order of business for the staff once they're hired?
Mr. Chairman, Committee Counsel, we already have Attorney General staff on retainer to represent us. So what we do is just have our criminal people who have investigated this case immediately with our compliance staff go to the Attorney General, and then we discuss our plan to go to a district attorney to possibly open a case on criminality. So everything is set in place, Committee Counsel, right now. The situation you have is whether the DA involvement would be there or not. That's the situation you're looking at.
Right. At the same time.
Next Friday, we also have invited, have a teleconference scheduled for with the LA prosecutor, and they have a special program set up there on their criminal enforcement.
Yeah, to that end, we're going to be visiting with the chair of the Judiciary Committee and asking her to switch places with us on Friday so that she could start her committee here at 1:30, so that if it ran over, they could continue here. We could then meet at 3 in hearing room C and then use the sound system for that teleconference with the prosecutor in Los Angeles and possibly some other teleconference witnesses we're still working on lining up. So yourself and the folks that you work with on this investigative would be worthwhile.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, the Supreme Court of our land has rendered a decision that OSHA citations and or fines is not the all-encompassing factor in penalties if criminal investigation states' rights are still involved. So we have everything within Oregon set up at this time.
Well, we're going to talk about in 1037 some statutory penalties that would be available under states' rights to enforce for the offenses. So, it'd be worthwhile to have you and or your
Mr. Chairman. What date is that?
Week from today, April 5. One week from today. All right. Further questions from Mr. Pompeo? I would direct the committee to the data and the which Mr. Pompeo delivered to the members at their office as a background, and we will look at that. And we'll also, I see we've got some. Well, we've got a lot of good data. I don't have mine in front of me. We have some less than good data in some places, including I think some. Was it an agriculture? Was one of the areas where we. We still need to work on getting the trend line to come back down and move in the right direction.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, agriculture has never been a priority. In fact, the Federal OSHA has not ever involved itself in the agricultural field, especially with growers with 10 employees or less. However, in the 89 legislature, we developed an agricultural section that does not only does migrant housing, field sanitation, but also does agricultural safety and health. And we are one of the few states, along with I think Wisconsin and maybe North Carolina, that's doing agricultural safety and health. It is the number one highest incidence injury and illness rate in the country, and for some reason this has always been taboo or something. Nobody's ever involved themselves with it. And I think it's predominantly because it was a family farm type situation.
Mr. Chair. Well, one of the, if I may pursue that, okay. I won't forget you, Senator Kintock. Hey, I'm not objecting to the performance of Orosha, and I recognize the proactive approach has been taken. And the problem is, of course, is the 10 or fewer, debarred from active visitation, you know, on your own motion to that operation, which makes up the vast majority of the operations of the state. So a circle has been drawn around most of the agricultural operations, and you've been told you're to go in only after the fact when there's been an injury on and to actually report on the case. So I understand that, although, and I understand also that unless some legislation is passed, you're going to find yourself with all of those within your bailiwick starting in the next fiscal year, too. So you may find yourself with some broader...
Mr. Chairman, I already have some broader interpretation of that bill with the Worker Comp Reform Act, the mandatory health and safety committees for 10 or fewer. If they're high-risk employers, and most agri-growers are going to be in that anyway, so we have the wherewithal now to become involved in mandating they have occupational health and safety committees, which they are not taking too kindly to, but, I mean, when you lose a 16-year-old boy or a 3-year-old child, and I may say that, and I know we do this, there was an ad on TV that was very repulsive to me, on a system that is a coolant, a refrigerant coolant, when you put it on somebody's leg. And the lady said, my 3-year-old fell off the tractor onto the exhaust pipe, and I was glad to have this little, rapid cooler. And I thought we should get this ad off of our Oregon TV because, but I know we do it, but it's...
doing our tractor.
That's the
point.
But it's a family affair, and that's the problem we have. And but most of your fatalities and injuries, Senator Hill, and the agri-growers are small, are the children. I mean, that's a fact.
So, how are you doing in the area of pesticides and exposures and et cetera in agriculture? And you're working with the Department of Ag on those?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we do work with agriculture. In fact, the EPA just came out with a new rule, and it was mandated to go to the Department of Agriculture, and because we do enforcement of exposure to pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and so forth, that we're entering into an agreement with them to do this enforcement. We work very well with the health department, the ag, the park agreement. We work very well. Our position as an enforcement agency in occupational health and safety is to look for exposure of workers to the chemicals. We're not involved with the DEQ and the storing and the involvement in the air, land, and water. We're not involved with the health department and sentinel studies regarding groups of exposure or children or families through proximity of washing clothes or things of this nature. We're involved with the workers out there who are using the chemicals and whether they're overexposed, but we do work very well with the rest of the agencies in our agreements. We have various interagency agreements with them.
Okay, we're holding a hearing on Monday on Senate Bill 756, which is a pesticide right to know worker notification bill for farm workers and those working in agricultural operations. So that will probably impinge upon the kind of thing that you're working with ag on that agreement for now, either extend the rights of workers and undoubtedly provide you with further avenue for investigation.
Mr. Chairman, that would just be a additive plus to the right-to-know standard that we already have. It would just emphasize that the growing community would have to do that for migrant workers and temporary,
that's right,
seasonal-type workers. You're right. We'd still do the posters in 10 or 11 different languages and make them available, but this may move this thing on a little further along. I
Senator Kinta.
I just had a comment. I was surprised when he said about I'm not being involved in agriculture because few years back, I remember I got 3 OSHA inspections in 1 year.
Well, we, Senator, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kintai, were you a senator at that time?
No, I wasn't.
But, you know, you were a grower or agribusiness more than 10?
Yeah, I am now.
Well, if it's more than 10, you're still under...
No, at that time I didn't have...
Did you have a...
I hover right around that 10 figure.
Well, we might have got you when you had 11 or so. We were waiting for you, San Quentin, to add that 11th, and then we pounced. That's what we... Yeah, we watch the people on the fence, and as soon as they go over, we jump in.
Nothing over a while now, because I guess it averages out. 3 times in 1 year was sort of getting to me.
Well, all right. How many years ago was that, Senator?
Oh, it's been quite a few now.
Well, my tenure started the summer of 87, so I'll apologize for APD.
All right, other questions? I appreciate you taking the time to come and make that report. We assume that we'll be seeing you as time goes by, especially as we work on 756 and especially on 1037, and appreciate your interest and support.
And Mr. Chairman of the committee, thank you, and please, when you need information from us, feel free. We'll be here before your committee, and I hope you have a good holiday weekend, everybody.
To you.
Thank you.
Unless there's other business and some burning desire on part of the committee members to remain later on this Friday, we will stand adjourned.